You know that sinking feeling when your team blows a lead in the final minutes? That's exactly how it feels when your website crashes during your biggest promotion. Or, for me, when I'm trying to post content after a big game. Between juggling client meetings, managing your website, and keeping up with everyday tasks, who has time to stress about WordPress security or slow loading times? That's where Kinsta comes in. Whether you're a business owner, web developer, or running a digital agency, Kinsta makes managing your website easy and efficient, so you can spend your time on what matters most. Kinsta gives you complete peace of mind by ensuring that your WordPress sites are always online, secure, and performing at their best. Their lightning-fast load times can boost your site speed by up to 200%, and their human-only support team responds in minutes, not hours. Plus, if you're switching from another host, Kinsta offers unlimited free expert migrations. They'll handle everything without any downtime. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today. Did you know we spend a third of our lives in bed? A third. So why would anyone settle for anything less than the best when it comes to your mattress? That's why I'm excited to tell you about the Avocado Green mattress. When it comes to mattresses, Avocado is the MVP. Top rated by Consumer Reports 8 years running. That's longer than some NFL careers. They use certified organic materials like latex, wool, and cotton. No nasty chemicals, just pure comfort that keeps you at the perfect temperature all night long. Here's the game-changing play. Right now, you can save up to 10% on these incredible mattresses at avocadomattress.com. Plus, they give you up to a full year to try it out, and they even have easy financing options with Affirm. That's how confident they are that you will love it. Head to avocadomattress.com today and save up to 10% on certified organic mattresses. Dream of better. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
From the out of bounds to the freshman queen who's driving, floats it. Maryland on the right side of a buzzer beater with life into the Sweet 16.
Freshman in the crowd, five, delivers when it matters the most.
Freshman who you've said from day one is one of the best players in the country. What did you call?
I asked everybody. I said, who wants the ball? And he said, give me the MF ball. And I said, all right, you're getting it. And I said, don't mess around. Go after it and do it. And I gave him a lot of credit, man. The big dog came up and threw.
This is your first game winner ever? Or
yeah.
I wouldn't have given it to him if I had known that.
And there it is, your one shining moment. As in your only one shining moment so far in the tournament. Look, we are not guaranteed buzzer beaters and Cinderellas and random names you'll remember forever like Jack Golke. When they come, we got to appreciate them, you know? Lisa Byington on the call for Turner with Andy Katz on the sidelines and Kevin Willard with the comment. I didn't know he didn't have one before in his career. But it was a hell of a game winner. Otherwise, I would not have given him the ball. Sometimes it works out. Other times it does not. Just ask either Gonzaga or Wisconsin, who both had shots for their one shining moment, and they came up big empty. The gun clicked, click, 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 when they needed it the most down the stretch. How you doing, everybody? Happy Monday, March 24, 2025. It is just you and me today. You know why? Because I know all this stuff, and I've been watching all this stuff, and I've been thinking about the stuff I want to say today. And so no offense to anyone that I could get on the pod here. I know this shit. I've been spending a lot of time. Today is like any given NFL Sunday. It's a stressful Sunday of me trying to see everything, trying to get all these sound bites together, and trying to make sense of, okay, what matters, what doesn't matter, which direction we're going. But I know nobody is going to feel sorry for me, and I'm not asking for pity. I'm just telling you, I've been working it. So why give me the ball? I guess this is what I'm saying. Like Derek Queen, give me the fucking ball on a Monday's Abecast, and I will run you through everything in the tournament and give you a little bit more on top of that as well. Patino Bench is a star. The portal opens today. You think you are done with Amir Khan? Not so fast, my friends. Also, Gonzaga's streak is over. Coaches behaving poorly. Plus, one of the more incredible anecdotes I've ever had at an arena for a sporting event involving a vendor at a beer stand. All that plus money is overwhelming the sport, and there's not a damn thing you or I or Dick Vitale can do about it. So let's get cracking. As of this very minute, 10:23 p.m. on a Sunday night. Another reason, by the way, I didn't tape the podcast earlier, and this is why it's just you and me tonight. Who the fuck is going to answer their phone at 10:23 Eastern time on a Sunday night? The answer is nobody. Right now, as I sit here and tape this, Ole Miss is polishing off Iowa State, leading by damn near 20. There's under 3 to go in that one. Oregon and Arizona, your last game of the night, is currently 31-27, Oregon leading that one. And Michigan State is in a dogfight with New Mexico, tied at 37 apiece with about 15 minutes to go. Otherwise, your bracket looks really, really chalky, and you're just going to have to like it. All four number one seeds are alive and through. You have two number two seeds alive and through, pending Michigan State. You have one, two, maybe three seeds to be through. We'll see about that. And there is several four seeds as well. I mean, it's Chalk City for the most part. And it is what it is. This is what many people predicted. Myself and Mr. X talked about this last week. Get your chalk out, because here it comes. There have not been many good storylines so far. First of all, Cooper Flagg did play, and I thought he wouldn't play in the first weekend. Shout out to my morning show co-host Brian Butch, who knows ball, who said it's a sprained ankle. He's got it several days off. He's going to be fine. And he was right. He played. There's the R.J. Lewis benching for St. John's. More on that in a second. Dan Hurley's tantrum about the referees. Mick Cronin is cranky. Other coaches are just acting like assholes, and they need to be called out on it. We had one tiny Cinderella that was McNeese State, and they only lasted a hot minute because they got run out of the gym in the second round. And many of us tired of the Amir Khan aura story. But we'll get to that more in just a second. There were several almost buzzer beaters. That'd be Wisconsin, BYU, and Gonzaga, Houston. But those kind of fizzled. So we're left with the shining moment you just heard there as Maryland defeats Colorado State after they had a rainbow three, a absolutely dripping wet three that might have been the game winner, but there was 3 seconds left, and you heard what happened from there. So let's start digging into some of these storylines in the tournament. And let's start with the notion that, hey, it's dawning on us that NIL has killed the mid-majors. Now, I always try to pump my brakes when there's a popular narrative that is gaining a lot of steam out there, because many times, while the narrative sounds about right and it anecdotally seems appropriate, you lose sight of the forest from the trees. You lose sight of the fact that we're talking about a one-year trend. I think it's probable that NIL and the wide-open portal, by the way, if we close the portal, the NIL gets muted tremendously. But nobody seems to be willing to take that legal gamble at this point. At least the universities don't want to take that gamble, because they've been losing in court ever since Ed O'Bannon got salty he wasn't getting video game money. Oh yeah, side note on that, EA Sports has upped their offer to the student-athletes. The student-athletes, I think they're still students, from $500 to opt in to the video game system for their name and number and their speed rating, from $500 to $1,500 per student-athlete, to which I bet the student-athletes are saying, yeah, keep going. Call me when it's $5,000 and I'll think about it. Anyway, NIL kills the mid-majors. Let's start Dan Dockich, guy who has lived his whole life in the college basketball realm. Here's what he had to say about it.
Uh-oh, NCAA's got a problem, bad games. It's become a one-month sport to a lot of people, and those games this weekend so far have been awful. Now, maybe we'll get, and we should get, into better games, but here's the problem. You know that NIL, where everybody wants all the good players to go to the good teams. That's what's happening. Well, a team like Liberty can win its league. A team like Akron can dominate its league. But when all of a sudden you lose the best players year after year after year to more money to the Power Five leagues, you can't compete nationally. It used to be the MAC was the 9th, 8th, 10th rated conference in the country. Now it's 23rd. It's all because of NIL. It's an unintended consequence. But it's coming back to bite the NCAA. I'm guessing the ratings will be fine, particularly next weekend when it's all blue bloods. But the magic, man, oh, man, the glory, the upsets didn't really happen. In fact, didn't happen. And the reason for that was NIL. Best players every year from teams like Akron, teams like Miami of Ohio. They go to bigger, better schools for more money. That is a serious problem. The NCAA is going to have to tackle, and I guarantee you coming up in about, I don't know, 3 to 6 months to a year, you're going to hear him talking about it.
Okay, so there's Dan Dockich. First of all, when he says the games were bad, I need to pause and say, what constitutes a good game? What's a good game? And before you say, well, that's the dumbest question ever, you'll know it when you see it. Like I tweeted after the Maryland-Colorado State game, that was a good game, period. The Dwight Schrutian, it is your birthday, period. It's a joke tweet. I do it after every close game. Is a good game a close game? Does a good game have to be a close game that has been played with skilled metrics, i.e. high shooting percentages? Does a good game have to involve a Cinderella upsetting a big name school? Would it be nice if there was all three involved? Of course. But is one of the three conditions good enough to call it a good game? I've enjoyed the game so far. There has not been as many buzzer beaters as most of us would have liked. Now, Dockich says they're going to look at it, the NCAA. They're going to talk about it. Here's the problem. There's too much money now that does not want the portal to close, because their money is chasing the other schools who don't have as much money to get the good players. God forbid a team signs a player to a multi-year NIL deal, which, by the way, is not enforceable at this time, and the kid stays there and they can't be poached. That's bad for the big schools. And then there's the legal precedent, which is, would they survive now rolling back the portal? You would think they could, since it wasn't open to begin with, but now that there is some precedent established, I wouldn't bet that they would win it, and it'll tie them up in the courts for several more years and drain a lot of billable hours. I don't think they're closing the portal, and of course NIL is not going away. So that was Dockich's take on it. Jeff Perlman, a Delaware grad, had this to say about the whole mid-major conundrum.
I'm just going to be blunt. This March Madness tournament has sucked. And for me,
hot take alert.
I love March Madness because I love the first round and usually the second round. I love seeing Vermont beat Syracuse. I love seeing Drexel beat Memphis. I love seeing Valpo go on a run. I love seeing UMBC or St. Peter's. And what has changed over the last bunch of years with NIL, with transfer rules, those two things mainly, is mid-majors are now just feeder systems to bigger schools. So example, if a Malik Rose came along now at Drexel, he'd probably play 2 years at Drexel and transfer to Duke or North Carolina or Syracuse or wherever. And you would never have time to develop. The one superpower that schools like Drexel had, that schools like St. Peter's, that whatever school you name, is they would bring in these lineups that had been together for 2, 3, 4 years, and they'd play a team like Kentucky stacked with freshmen. And yeah, Kentucky would be more talented, but these schools were together and they knew each other and they had really high court IQs and they would move the ball and they weren't just hucking threes. And that was super, super fun. It almost was a clash of cultures, the one and done team versus the mid-major with less talent, but more togetherness and cohesion. Well, now those mid-majors are being strip mined and even Division II schools are being strip mined. And all of a sudden, mid-majors are just feeders to bigger schools. The problem is now when mid-majors make the tournament, they're just going to get stomped because their best players are now playing for the big schools. I don't know the answer to this. I just know I went to Delaware. Delaware almost reached the NCAA tournament this year as a 12 seed in the Colonial Conference. They had a star freshman who was awesome. In the past, you'd be like, holy shit, this guy, watch out for Delaware over the next 2 years. And now it's like, watch out to see where he's going to go this offseason when he gets a big NIL deal and winds up playing for Cincinnati. It just sucks, but it is what it is.
Okay, so there's Jeff Pearlman. You know, he's talking about St. Peter's and Oakland's, and these all happened a year or two ago. We're going off of one round or two rounds of this 1 year. Let's just see. And the whole, oh, you know, NIL killed the mid-majors. It didn't make it easier for him, for sure. But look at the big NIL flops. Kansas being the biggest one of all. A one-pump chump. First time that they've been out in the first round in like 25 years. Oh, and the ACC had only one team alive after the first round of the tournament for the first time in like 50 years. Miami, big-time NIL flop as well. So it's no guarantee, but that's Pearlman's take on things. Now, people, of course, got to chirping online about this. And, you know, a guy said, yeah, but it'll continue to be that way. Why beat your head against the wall on this? Let's just create a tournament for the mid-majors. Then you don't have to bitch. It's going to be that way next year. Only 4 of the 31 automatic qualifiers are Power 4 anyway. That's like 27 mid-majors. How many do you want? That guy has a point. But then somebody claps back saying, just create a tournament for mid-majors? That's absolutely the opposite of what March Madness is about. The beauty of March is that in theory, every school has a chance. It seems like many have lost sight of that. Well, in theory. We don't live in theory. We live in the real world. I'm going to explain to you why money is wiping out the sport in ways that cannot be stopped. But regarding the portal, here was Coach Cal, his usual goofy self, right after beating St. John's, talking about the portal, which opens.
And that's maybe what, when does it open, the portal?
Monday.
When?
Monday.
This Monday?
Don't look at me.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, he fucking knew that it opened on Monday. I'm not falling for this act from Coach Cal. Also, when it comes to NIL, he points out that a lot of these kids can't handle this much money and this much responsibility and this many people in their ear about the money that they are earning in the portal and via NIL. Talked about this before. Here's Coach Cal on the piano on their backs.
I overcame, and I keep reminding them how much you've overcome. You guys think I'm winning and losing. You understand these kids like have a piano on their back. That it's never been this way in all my years of coaching, because NIL, if a kid got money, it's just more weight. And now the families are more involved than they've ever been. Why? NIL. So now all of a sudden they got the people around them. They got the piano on their back. They miss a shot. Now social media tees off on you. Are you really looking at that stuff? I mean, for them to do what they did and then we're still playing, like I said prior to the game, how about we give ourselves a chance to make some magic?
Yeah. And the answer to that problem is there is no answer. You're not going to not take the money. Your family members and cousins are not going to then be in your ear saying, hey, man, can you help fix my car? Can you help pay for my heating bill? You're just going to have to grow up quicker, these kids are, and that's a reality of life. Not every bad thing that's happening has a solution. But the money problem with college basketball is simply this. The sport got so popular, and because televised sporting events are such gold to networks, and because the cable universe used to have a virtually limitless ocean of channels to put these games on, and now in the streaming world, there's an even bigger and deeper ocean of places to put these games. You cannot time shift sports, meaning I'm going to binge watch episodes of the SEC later on next week. You have to watch it in real time to talk about it with your friends and neighbors and coworkers and colleagues and people you went to school with and everything else. And that's why the money for television, for the sport, has been skyrocketing. Now, here's the difference. So as the money was rocketing up in the last 10 years, schools were paying coaches more and more money. They were paying administrators quietly more and more money. They were upgrading their facilities to absolutely absurd degrees. We're talking not just, you know, massage chairs and big state-of-the-art audio, video, DVD players and stuff in the locker room and logos, this. We're talking lazy rivers and pools and saunas. And so they spent a lot of money on facilities. And then they weren't afraid to buy out coaches that had stumbled. You're like, this guy sucks. Let's go get another guy. Well, it's going to cost us a $60 million buyout. They didn't care because the tide of money was rising and rising and rising. So then you had the situation where they're also subsidizing all these other sports, these non-revenue sports and the women's sports, women's basketball and everything else. So you had a problem with there was so much money rising the sport, the players still weren't getting anything. I don't think that they deserved or are worth anything for the most part, even though Jay Billis obviously disagrees. But eventually the dam was going to burst. The dam was going to burst. They were going to have to pay the players. And now that the players are being paid, they're being paid, I mean, insane amounts of money. And again, I say they don't deserve it and they're not worth it. You would say, but market economics say that there's no such thing, that unless you stole the money or put a gun to somebody's head, the market says you're worth $1 million as a little-known wing player transferring through the portal. I say you're not worth it because it's stupid money. Stupid money does stupid things. Now, where's this stupid money coming from? Billionaires. In 2004, there was a mere 587 billionaires in the U.S. A mere 587. You know what the number is today? 2,781. In addition, in 2004, the richest dude in America, Bill Gates, was worth $46 billion. And the 10th richest person was the fifth member of the Walmart family, the Waltons. He was a $20 billion guy, 10th guy. So the spread from 1 to 10 of billionaires was 46 to 20 in billions. You know what it is now? 233 to 114. The richest individual or family is the Bernard Arnault family, who owns a conglomerate of companies, including luxury brands like Louis Vuitton and Hennessy. And number 10 is Larry Page of Google, who you and I probably couldn't pick out of Duke Ellington's band if he was the only one holding a trumpet, at $114 billion. So there's a lot of billionaires out there, and there's a lot of quiet, say, 15 to $20 billion guys, or even $10 billion guys. $10 billion is $10,000 million. I hate to break it to you, $10,000 billion. And one of those billionaires is the guy responsible for getting St. John's back on the national stage. His name is Mike Riepoll. And he invented vitamin water and body armor and sold those to Coke and Pepsi, respectively, for like $4.1 and $6.5 billion. Mike Riepoll is 55 years old. He does not dress fancy. He does not hang out in swishy circles. He is just a guy who has loved St. John's growing up in Middle Village from the time he was young. Dresses like Adam Sandler. Kind of looks like Adam Sandler. He decided, what am I going to do with my $10,000 million? And he said, I'm going to make St. John's good again. He does say, though, that his relationship with Coach Pitino and the university is not transactional. And I would assume that's probably true for the most part. It's also very beneficial. Think about it this way. A guy like Mike Riepoll, who grew up in the Middle Village and loves St. John's, was pissed off that they sucked. So pissed off, by the way, that they sucked, that he once called the fan as Mike from Middle Village, not as a billionaire, called Mike Francesa in 2019 and went off on school officials because they were searching for a coach after parting with Chris Mullin, dubbing them incompetent and clueless. So that's the kind of guy who is now fueling the money in sports, and he ain't the only one. These are poor billionaires who might only have $5 billion, which is nothing. Probably gets you $5 billion. I haven't looked at the list, but there's 2,781 of them right now. You're not even top 1,000, I bet, at $5 billion. That's $5,000 million. You can't buy an NFL team for $5 billion. But what can you basically buy? You're buying essentially kind of a part ownership and part GM role and a superfan role with a program you love in college. You're traveling with the team. You're sitting in the best seats. You're talking to Pitino all the time because you have the money. What a great deal. Now you don't have equity in the whole thing. You're not going to be able to sell a chunk of St. John's basketball, not yet at least, but soon you will, as private equity comes in. It's a good deal. Mike Riepoll will not miss the money if he flushes $100 million on players at St. John's. He still won't feel it. Which brings me to Utah, it brings me to BYU. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. The drive to basketball championships, the grind of raising the cup in hockey. From the court to the ice, today's elite athletes know success depends on having the right team behind them. Same goes for protecting your family's financial future. SelectQuote's licensed agents are your all-star team for finding customized, affordable life insurance that scores big on coverage and savings. SelectQuote has nearly 40 years of experience helping 2 million customers find over $700 billion in coverage. Other brokers offer one-size-fits-all policies that might cost more and cover less. SelectQuote's agents work for you to tailor the right policy in just 15 minutes. Worried about health conditions? SelectQuote partners with carriers covering high blood pressure, diabetes, and even heart disease. No major health issues, get same-day coverage with no medical exam. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/Zabe. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe today to get started. SelectQuote.com/Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. SelectQuote, they shop, you save.
Hey everybody, Zabe here. It seems like every day there's more attention on crypto as headlines talk about digital assets reaching new milestones. Well, with only 21 million Bitcoin to ever exist, it's designed to be scarce. And that scarcity can mean real staying power. My friends at CoinFlip Preferred believe that stepping into the crypto world should be simple, secure, and on your terms. That's why they pair you with a dedicated crypto expert who guides you through every step, from your very first transaction to the more advanced solutions. Plus, CoinFlip is a registered money services business and does not custody funds, so you stay in control and protected. With nearly a decade of collective experience, CoinFlip Preferred's client managers know this space inside and out. Ready to explore the world of digital assets with confidence? Visit coinflip.tech/Zabe or use promo code Zabe, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo for 50% off transaction fees. Valid one per customer until May 30th, 2025.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
BYU, good team, good size, good players, interesting mix of players. They've got some of these, you know, homegrown Utah kids, these Mormon kids who love the program and know how to play basketball. They're the one dorky white kid they were talking about. Look, there's his dad in the stands, and his dad's going crazy. And like his dad used to bring him to the gym as a kid, hoping the BYU coach would notice him. I'm doing the jerk off motion, going, "Oh, you're the first dad who ever took your kid to the gym. Okay, great. Nice player though. He better enjoy those years because BYU is about to go into turbo mode because they've got coming in the number one recruit in the country." A.J. Dibansta from Boston, and he's black. I say that as a joke to Ron Burgundy in Anchorman 2. Don't get any crazy ideas, people. He's a black kid from Boston who's not a Mormon, who's going to be BYU. Interesting. Wonder why. It's because the nearly eight-figure NIL deal to bring him there. And the fact that their coach, Kevin Young, very well respected. He is Mormon, but he was in the NBA with Phoenix. Guys like Chris Paul raved about Kevin Young. And shit, for $8.5 million, which is reportedly the number on A.J. Dibansta, I don't know how long he's going to be there. He's like, I'm in. How is BYU doing this? Very simple. A group of people called the Silicon Slopes. These are tech bros from California who made their billions and got the fuck out of California or got a second residence in California. And so they're in Utah now and they're big supporters of BYU and they want to make it an absolute power. And they have billions and billions of dollars. So let me zoom back out to Jay Billis. Yeah, I crushed Jay Billis because he was rooting for it. Players got to get paid. He didn't cause it to happen, though. The tidal wave of money was going to eventually break the levees, and it was going to happen, whether Billis rooted for it or not. Billis, I guess you could argue, was smart by being on the right side of it because he knew what was eventually coming. There's so much money now. And what are you going to do to stop it? I mean, what are you going to do to these billionaires? They got these billions. They're not going to live forever. Why the fuck not spend it on college basketball? In fact, there's a booster for BYU by the name of Paul Liljangquist. He is the CEO of this company called Focus Services in Utah, a company that is worth $500 million. He said literally, you're not going to outbid us. This is the world as it exists. It's not necessarily the world that I or others would like, but it is what it is. So let's talk Rick Pitino here for a second. One of the big stories was benching R.J. Lewis, the Big East Player of the Year, for like the final 5 minutes of a very tight game in which they were drowning against Arkansas. What? Huh? The announcers just kept going, I don't know why he's on the bench. He's not in foul trouble. He doesn't seem to be injured. What the hell's going on? Well, that's a great question, one that I would love a straight answer for. Many fans would love it, but Rick Pitino, now emboldened with his rehabilitation in the media and elsewhere, has decided that it's okay to be an asshole again. Because here was his bullshit response.
Roger Rubin from Newsday. Rick, you had RJ on the bench, you know, for a pretty long stretch at the end. Was that just because he just wasn't making them, or was there something more to it?
Played 30 minutes. It's a long time.
So he was tired?
Yes, for a 19-year-old kid. That's a long time. Bullshit.
Tired.
No, played 30 minutes, and I went with other people. You already know the answers, Roger. You're asking leading questions. You already know it. So don't ask leading questions. You already know why he didn't play. Okay.
Right here in the middle.
Yeah, okay. Well, can you share with everybody else? There is a belief, I saw some people comment, that there was a really bad, very selfish shot at 62-60 that he took and missed, and that was the reason he ended up getting on the bench. I mean, look, I get it. Coaches make their own decisions. They understand their team better than anybody, and it's not a totally indefensible move, but guess what, Pitino? Maybe just spell it out to us to say, you know what? I love RJ. He's an amazing player. He didn't have it. He didn't have it, and he was taking bad shots, and I figured we could get some other guys in there. Instead of this, oh, it's 30 minutes. You know the answer, he wasn't playing. Do tell. Do you think he was point shaving? Is he already entered the portal, and you're like, what, you enter the portal at halftime? Fuck you. We're trying to get through the Sweet 16. Of course, Pitino's got nothing on Danny Hurley being an asshole, and I kind of wanted to like Danny Hurley, but I can't. Hurley's UConn Huskies put up a really brave fight to try to take out Florida, came up short down the stretch, and of course Hurley did not take it well. Here he was in the tunnel in front of multiple cameras and media members saying the following about the referees. Let me see if you can hear it here. I'll play it for you, and this is, here you go. Yeah, I hope they don't fuck you like they fucked us, Baylor. Meaning the referees. Okay. There was calls that could have gone either way on both sides. I did not feel like the end of the UConn-Florida game was egregious in any way. They just couldn't fucking close. Danny Hurley's an asshole and unprofessional. Unprofessional and terrible example for other coaches and players. Now, the numbers in the Duke game were quite skewed between Duke and Baylor. 19 first-half free throws to 2 for Baylor. Baylor's best player, Isaiah Evans, had 0 points in that half. And the final tally numbers were also bad. But there's no guarantee in a basketball game that you're going to get even Steven free throws. So stop whining. Also after the game, you know, you had Hurley crying about, oh, I'm going to miss the relationships with the players. And then you also had him being this dipshit.
You know, I would say going into the year.
He's rubbing his head.
You know, there's a lot, I mean, of, you know, rewiring and things I got to do in the offseason. Because you just get caught up in this tidal wave of success that we've had. You know, you just... you lose perspective, you know, you struggle with the ego at times because you've been on this incredible run. So it'll be nice to get to a normal off season and just get back to, you know, myself as a coach and not have to throw out first pitches. And you should only be ringing stock market bells and throwing out first pitches when you win the major championship. So, you know, I won't have to do things like that. I'll be able to just kind of, you know, focus on the upcoming season, make better decisions with all aspects of coaching. But, yeah, I mean, when I saw the...
Okay, you know what? You could still say no to first pitches and stock bell ringing. And this is something for your therapist, bro. I know you're struggling with it. Nobody wants to hear it. You make $8 million a year. And you had a good team this year, just not quite as good as the last two. And it didn't work out for you. Tough shit. Screw on a brave face and be a man. Embarrassing. Good coach. I'm not a fan. And then there is Mick Cronin. Oh, my God, Mick Cronin. This guy has been on a generational run of being a complete asshole who basically has not won anything. Not won anything of note. After they lost in the second round, he went to the podium. Here's the transcript. Moderator, we're joined by UCLA head coach Mick Cronin and student athletes Tyler Bilodeau and Sky Clark. Coach? Usually coach then has a boilerplate 15, 20, 30-second statement about the game. Cronin, quote, I don't really have one. It's 12:30. Boo fucking who? Be a pro. You're the coach. Sorry you lost. Give us 30 seconds. What a dick. I don't really have one. It's 12:30. It gets worse. The moderator, questions for our student athletes. Question, I know it's probably way too early to start thinking about. Cronin jumps in. Then don't ask. Question, at what point do you start looking forward rather than backwards? Cronin, right now, guys, it's 12:40 a.m. and our season just ended. That's it. You're going to ask me about next year. Right now, my biggest concern is how bad the seats are on the Allegiant flight on that terrible plane we're going to fly home on tomorrow. Jesus. He ends by, you know, then they said the school bus? Mick Cronin, yeah, the plane version of the cheese. Reporter, hang in there. Cronin, by the way, the report, it's 12:40 p.m. for the fucking reporters as well, asshole coach. Cronin, and is there any chance that Doug got me some food because I don't eat on game day? That I got something edible, not next year, not right now, guys. Feed me. He's hangry. He's cranky. Fucking manage your food, you fucking pussy. Don't be like, I'm tired, I'm hungry. It's 12:30. It's past my bedtime. I'm not anti-UCLA. Even though technically being a gaucho UC Santa Barbara, I should be anti-UCLA. I'm not. But I am anti-Mick Cronin, that's for sure. Of course, not all coaches are that way. Many of them get it. And for that, I love them. Kelvin Sampson, big respect for Mark Few and Gonzaga, who were easily misseeded. He said, look, I get it, metrics this, metrics that. You got to use the eye test. These guys were a really tough second-round opponent, but Mark Few, major respect.
But you know what? Let's stop and congratulate Mark Few and Gonzaga for what they've accomplished and been such a shining light for basketball programs and basketball coaches for a long, long time. There's nobody I respect more than Mark Few, and there's not a basketball program I respect more than Gonzaga. So we beat a hell of a program tonight. That makes it even more significant.
There you go. Also, Badgers head coach Greg Gard was asked, how will this loss yet again, without getting to the Sweet 16, affect your legacy? I hate that question. Nobody has a legacy. These are coaches in sports. They come, they go, they get paid millions of dollars. Some of them get it. Others act like big fucking babies who need a sandwich. Yeah, I'm hungry. It's late. Gard, though, says, I don't give a crap about my legacy or me. It's not about me. He says he just wants it for the players and the kids that he coaches. That's a great answer, but that's who Greg Gard is. And they were one John Tonge better look away from advancing to the Sweet 16 with a hell of a comeback against a BYU team that was absolutely shooting the lights out and playing amazing offense. I mean, that's the razor-thin difference right there. It's, does Tonge get a better look and doesn't airball it and makes the shot to win? One shining moment. Oh, Greg Gard's awesome. He, you know, was picked 12th to start the year in the Big Ten, and they damn near won the Big Ten Conference Tournament. They almost went to the Sweet 16. He sucks. Get rid of him. I'll take calls on Monday, I'm sure, from some people that want to get somebody, quote, better. You're not going to get any better. Sports are full of heartbreak and coming up short, and it's a random thing much of the time. If there's a coach that does something egregiously bad strategically, or it is obvious they don't motivate their players well in the biggest moments, then fine. We have a discussion. But you can't say that about Gard. Phil Martelli Jr. is at Bryant College, and they got bounced predictably. And he still said how wonderful it was just to be in the big dance for a hot second and talked about his family making sure that they came to see him.
That makes it even.
Hold on a second. Sorry. Click that out. Here we go. Phil Martelli Jr.
I've done that for her, but it's very much appreciated. My in-laws being here, and then my wife, Megan, my son, Philip, my daughter, Mara, my son, Nathan, for them to get to experience what I experienced around the same ages. They've sacrificed a lot. This is not an easy journey for any of us, but especially not on the families. And Megan doesn't get as much of a pass because she knew what she signed up for. The kids didn't sign up for this. Megan knew. Megan was a great player. She's a coach. She's the daughter of a coach. She knows what this life is like. Now, she probably didn't know exactly what this life was like, me taking her to Niagara Falls for a couple of years and then to Delaware and then being in Philly and then being here. But the kids, like, they, you know, they live and die. You know, they live and die.
It's good shit right there. Of course, watch. In about 5 years, Phil Martelli Jr. is going to be somewhere at a big school making $8 million, bitching about not having a sandwich at 12:30 at night like Mick Cronin. Martelli Jr. said that one of his family members, extended family members, rearranged their Disney vacation just to make sure they were there for the game. And he said, she's a real Disney fanatic. I wouldn't have done that, but they did. And I appreciate that. So there are guys that still get it out there, and I appreciate that. Let's end on this. Amir Khan ain't done yet. I know he's been the darling so far of the tournament. Ooh, he's got a boom box. No, he's got an NIL deal. So that is great. Aura, Amir Khan, the boom box kid for McNeese State, who is losing their coach and is probably heading back to mostly irrelevance.
But March is made for Cinderella and viral sensation. Amir is determined to do his part to keep the clock from striking midnight on McNeese and keep the music pumping. Look at him go!
Well, he's got a hazard suit on.
It's a custom sweatsuit he had made. I mean, why do I have to be the guy that says and reminds everyone he's the fucking ball boy, essentially. Glorified ball boy. It's almost like when there becomes this viral thing that everybody sort of agrees, isn't this a great story? If you dare to stand on the other side with your arms folded and say, I don't get it. What's the great story? What does he do? What's his talent? If this was a ball boy who had overcome some severe disease and used to be a top high school player and, you know, he's learned how to walk again and now he, like, give me an inspirational story. Kid holds a boombox. That's it. Can he juggle? Can he rollerblade? No. Can he sing? What does he do? Who is he? Who cares? One and done. And you think you'd be done with him, right? Nope.
Amir Khan is going to NC State with Will Wade as a grad assistant. Oh, isn't that great? Wade's got a 6-year deal coming. Who knows how long the deal will be for Amir or a Khan? And how long will we still care about him? You know, if NC State next year is 5-11 in league, is he going to come out of the tunnel with that stupid boombox? And is anyone going to still care? Dumb story, bad precedent. Stop rewarding no talents. He ain't the story. The kid, the students, the players are the story, not the ball boy. Somebody put it really well on Twitter, saying this kid is going to cause an epidemic of TikTok student managers going forward. Get ready for your team to someday lose its best player, all because why? Because they slipped on a wet spot while their student manager was too busy lip-syncing NBA young boy for a TikTok instead of seeing the wet spot and making sure it was cleaned up. Again, in theory, nothing wrong with it to a certain degree. It got out of hand, and I, for one, am glad it's over, at least for now. We'll see what happens at NC State. But yes, Amir Khan, the ball boy. And I know you're going to just go ahead and send me the emails. Old man shakes fist. I get that a lot these days. God forbid I say something that is not on the right side of the pop culture that just mindlessly goes along with something like sheep. Yay! The ball boy has a boombox. Oh, he's so cool. He looks kind of like a nerd. Yeah. You know damn well, if Amir Khan was instead, you know, Chad McJeremiah or something. That's a bad name. Chad something. And he was all ripped and shirtless and had gold chains and sunglasses. You'd hate him. I'd hate him. Everyone would hate him. You're like, who is this fucking Chad? Shirtless guy with all the muscles. It's this rooting for the underdog thing. Oh, yeah. Just a normal kid. All these NIL deals. I know this. The NC State players better go to him in the locker room saying, look, you're cutting us in on these NIL deals. If you're getting free wings from B-dubs, we're in on that, okay? Otherwise, good luck finding your boombox. It'll be in the river, down two counties over. I've enjoyed the tournament. Let me check in here. Arizona trying to pull away. Second half just began. New Mexico is probably going down against Michigan State. So there you go. Up to minute scores, and I've got to go to bed and sleep quick because I got to wake up and do a show in the morning. Thank you for listening. Good job by me. Look at that solo run. I gave you all tournament today, and that was fun. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.